I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Once there was a funeral. The deceased was a rich, cantankerous, mean-spirited old lady, the family matriarch, who had terrorized, criticized, and demonized pretty much every member of her clan for pretty much as long as any of them could remember. The preacher at the funeral was a family member who had borne the brunt of a lot of that ill will. And the church got very quiet as he got into the pulpit. He looked out at the congregation and said, "If the universe is fair, if there's any justice, Aunt Bessie is burning in hell right now." That's not the reaction I expected. There was a gasp like the one I expected to hear from y'all. Then the preacher shook his head and said, "But God's kingdom is not built on human ideas of fairness. God's kingdom is not built on human ideas of justice. God's kingdom is built on mercy and transformation and peace. Mercy that none of us really deserve. Transformation that all of us really need and can't accomplish for ourselves. Peace that comes when we finally realize we're all embraced by God's love." Kingdom of God isn't about our ideas of fair. And then the preacher read the prayer from the prayer book, asking God to receive into his arms of embrace Bessie, a lamb of his own fold and a sinner of his own redeeming. Once there was an older brother standing outside of a large house where there was a party going on, but he wasn't going in. He was furious because the party was to celebrate the return of his irresponsible, reprobate, reckless younger brother, just back from the ancient Near East version of Las Vegas, where he had run through fully one-third of the entire family fortune. If the universe was fair, if there was any justice, the old man would have slammed the door right in that young slacker's face. Both these stories point us towards something that we might not really want to look at, but it's something that seems to be deeply embedded in our fallen human nature. From an early age, and parents, you know this, from an early age, we humans seem to be obsessed with making sure everyone gets exactly what they deserve and not more, because that's not fair. Social scientists call this distributive justice. I call it being 7 years old. We all do it, and it always involves comparing ourselves with other people. Do you remember a cereal called Lucky Charms? Absolutely horrible stuff. But my younger brother and I loved it. We coveted it, especially those nasty little bits of stale marshmallow. We would complain if one seemed to get even a little bit more than the other. It's not fair. We even counted out those nasty little marshmallows just to make sure that neither one of us got any more than he deserved. This is something that seems to be ingrained into our fallen human nature. And it always involves comparing ourselves with others, usually to their detriment. The older brother compares himself with his younger sibling. He is dutiful, responsible, dependable. He doesn't put his family through shame or grief. The gathered family compares themselves with miserable old Aunt Bessie. My little brother and I compare our bowls of cereal. And when we bring that state of mind, when we bring those lenses, those eyes to today's story, that big party, that party bothers us a little. It doesn't seem to make any sense when you compare the two brothers. But maybe there's something else going on here. Maybe we're all making the same mistake. Me, my brother, Aunt Bessie's family, the older brother in Jesus' story this morning. We're thinking in human terms of rewards and punishments and distributive justice when really there's something way more important going on. We look at that party and we scratch our heads because to us, from that perspective, it seems like some kind of misguided reward for the son's irresponsible behavior. But look closer. Look at that party. Listen to the dialogue between the father and the older son. That party is not for the younger brother at all. That party is for the father. The party is not a reward for the son, it's a celebration for the dad. That party is an overflowing, it's an outpouring of joy and relief at getting the son back home when he could have been gone forever. It's not a reward for irresponsible behavior. It's the father's party. And he'll kill the fatted calf if he wants to. It's not about rewards and who deserves what in our estimation. It's about the Father's joy. And I got the feeling I might need to take this way of thinking out into the world with me and maybe try to nudge out a little bit of that 7-year-old counting the marshmallows in his Lucky Charms. Maybe I need to take this different way of thinking about people out into the world with me, especially as I try to get my head around this whole idea we've undertaken, this whole thing of risk-taking mission and service. Because here's something that happens to me when I'm not deliberate about thinking differently. When I encounter someone in need, when someone's at the church office, or man, just try walking down a city street wearing clericals. I have a habit, and I don't like it, I have a habit of seeing that person in comparison with myself. And I've got a little voice inside my head that says, maybe they deserve to be where they are, and maybe I deserve to be where I am. I did all my homework. I was a good boy. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they weren't. Maybe that's distributive justice. Well, maybe. But I think I'm going to try to give up that way of thinking, at least for the rest of Lent and hopefully beyond. I'm going to try to think of the Father in this story. And remember that wherever that person that I encounter out there may be, and however they got there, God is yearning for them to return home, just as the Father was yearning for the return of His Son. God is yearning for that person to return home to a life of beauty and security and goodness and fulfillment that God desires for all His children. It's not about what he deserves. It's about what God yearns for and what will give God the joy that that father felt. That's the return of his children. Maybe that helps me see people a little differently. Maybe that helps me see people a bit more the way God sees them. And maybe sometimes risk-taking mission and service is about playing a role in that process. Not giving a handout, but when someone is ready to start on a new road, when they're ready to turn and come home, maybe I have a role. Maybe I can find a way to come alongside and travel with them for a while. Remembering that God is yearning for the people that I encounter, the people that we seek to serve, the way the Father yearned for the return of His Son, that might help me see them better. And that's the start. It all reminds me of what that preacher reminded his family of. God's kingdom is different. God's kingdom isn't built on our human ideas of fairness. The story reminds us of what that preacher reminded his family of. God's kingdom is built on mercy, transformation, and peace. Mercy none of us really deserves. Transformation none of us can accomplish on our own. Peace that passes our human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.